I will be reading Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Clap. He didn't read that.
That's good. That's we had a lot of different memory verses we were working on, so Gabe had his memorized, so that's awesome. Day one was demo day. You'll notice up here on the stage there's a lit up cross and there's some nails and some strings. On evening one, after we had gone through the day, all the campers took pieces of this, of which it's different pieces. You'll see lines. All different pieces of wood, and every camper nailed in one of those nails, and what their challenge was to think of a sin that they were struggling with, that they needed to demo in their own lives, and they nailed that sin in, not knowing what it was going to make. And I think on the last day, or the second to last day, this was all shown. Obviously, the concept being nail that to the cross. It's done. Be forgiven of it. Move on. But don't not learn the lesson that needs to be learned from that. So demo day is an identification and a tearing out of what needs to be torn out. And honestly, for the adults, this is probably a whole lot harder. Our roots run a lot deeper. Our sins have lasted a whole lot longer. These teens, these campers, it's challenging for them. But this is actually more challenging, I think, for all the staff, all the adults, to honestly approach demo day. What better time to approach demo day than at the table? When we come to Jesus, that's exactly what we should be doing each week, having a demo day of our own lives, a introspection of the heart, the soul, our strength, our mind. What needs to be addressed in those four areas of how we love Christ within our heart, soul, strength, mind? Because honestly, three of these, if you do three of these great, that's not good enough. You do two of these great, that's not good enough. God asks for all of the heart, all of the soul, all of the mind, all of the strength. Communion is a perfect place to start demo day. We evaluate what needs to be thrown out. In Judges chapter 2, and this is the story that we started when we were doing our lesson with the campers. The Israelites did not obey God and did not tear down the idols and tear down the high places. And God said, they're going to be a thorn in your side, and their gods will be a snare to you. That's the downside of not doing demo day right. So our challenge is to do demo day right. And honestly, this is probably the hardest day. These are the things that are deeply rooted that need to be thrown out, need to be dug up. So my challenge to you during this communion time is to approach demo day honestly, no matter how hard it might be. And honestly, it's the hardest day because you're tearing stuff up, but you aren't building anything. You don't see that beautiful end result. But this has to be done first. And so it's the hardest part, in my estimation, of the whole thing, because you don't get to see the beautiful blueprint, as that's going to be talked about later, or see the wonderful foundation, as that'll be talked about later. Demo day is the hardest day because all you're doing is tearing up, not knowing of all the good things that are going to come. But we lean on the promises of God and knowing if we tear these things up, the good stuff's coming. So during this communion time, think on that. Be honest with yourself. Tear up what needs to be torn up. Pray with me.
I'm sure this isn't going to sound as near as good as it did in the shower this morning. Wednesday night after I spoke, I went up to Tim Partlow and I said, hey, I'd be glad to speak again on Sunday morning. And immediately this voice in my head was like, why did you say that? And he goes, well, I think we had Chuck speak last year, just do a sermon. And I was like, okay. So then yesterday morning, Mr. Chuck calls Jared Miller up to the mess hall, not Jared Martin, Jared Miller. And I was like, well, that's not me, but, So On Tuesday, we had the topic of building a strong foundation. And when we think of a strong foundation, we think of the building blocks, kind of the base of a structure. I'm going to tell a quick story. If you were at camp, you got to hear the full story. I was instructed not to tell the full story today. I'm sorry. There's people down in the front telling me to... I'm sorry. When I was going into my seventh grade year, I was in Port St. Joe, Florida, with my family and the Vaughns. We've gone on vacation together ever since I can remember. And one particular day, my family decided we were going to take a pontoon boat out on the bay. And I'm not talking about like a yacht. I mean like a pontoon boat the size of a truck. And there was no room, like, at all. And on top of that, none of us had experience driving boats. So we get out there, and we're out for maybe 20 minutes or so, and we see a bit of cloud cover coming in. And so we radio in, and we're like, what does the weather look like today? And we get the response. We get the quote-for-quote response, there is no bad weather in the bay. So we stay out for a few more hours. We eat some lunch. We just kind of hang out on the water, and we see some more clouds come in. So we're like, what's the weather looking like today? And we get the response, there is no bad weather in the bay. And we're like, I don't know at this point. But so about an hour later, it's pretty evident that there is some very bad weather in the bay. And we are several miles out in a boat that was probably slower than me. This boat was just... we had boats passing us, like, you know, they were like, hey, you know, we're like, wait for us, you know. And we were out in the storm, and, you know, my dad was driving, so, like, it's just not good. and we were caught out here in these rocky, choppy, dangerous waters, and I think... often we get caught out in those waters, if not every day, because God does not take a break from your life, but neither does Satan. And every day I know we get caught out in those waters. Sometimes we lure ourselves into a trap. We struggle with maybe self-confidence. Are we good enough? Will I ever be good enough? We have faith doubts. We struggle knowing whether or not does God exist, because I can't see him. And then sometimes we struggle with asking ourselves, does God really care about me? And this morning I'm here to tell you that he does, because he died for you. And when you accept that, when you physically take the nails like we did on Monday, and you nail your sins to the cross, and you give your sins to God, you will never, ever walk on a faulty foundation again. All of this, I talked about, especially like the A-bath house at camp, it's temporary. I'm pretty sure the stage had to be replaced at one point. I'm not sure, but our houses, this church building, it's temporary. It's going to, at one point, start to rot. And when you put your foundation, when you put your foundation in Jesus, and you nail your sins to the cross, you will never again stand on a faulty foundation. Your foundation will be everlasting. It will be never ending, and it will be forever, because that's God's love, never ending and forever. Thank you.
I will be reading the verse for Wednesday. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Hebrews 11:10.
Jared was talking about things that are temporary, and I was thinking about camping. You know, one of the great things about camping is you have a built-in excuse for anything that goes wrong. It's like, we forgot the salt. Don't worry about it. We're just camping. Tomorrow we're going home. So anyway, things get wet. Don't worry about it. We're just camping. Tomorrow we're going home. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Day 3 was follow the blueprint, listen to the designer. We talked at the beginning of the week with our class a lot about listening to God. And we talked about God being the designer. And the Word of God is primarily the way we listen to God. And the way we have a conversation with God is to pray and be in the Word. And we talked about that a lot. We talked about that every day. And that's so important. We also talked about Abraham, because Abraham is an example of somebody in the Bible who listened to God. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he would do necessarily. But God told him to get up and leave his country and go. I'm going to reread the verse that Gus just read. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. So for day 3, we talked about Abraham as an example of one who listened to God and followed the blueprint. There were 4 main points we talked about. The first one is that God has a plan for your life. Take a look at, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Abraham knew that God had a plan for his life, and God also has a plan for your life. Number 2, we can't see the finished product. Abraham didn't know where he was going, and sometimes we don't know exactly where God is taking us. But if we are in the Word, we are in prayer, we are asking him to show us, he will show us. Number 3, if we trust and obey, the blueprint is guaranteed to be right. Abraham knew that God had a plan for his life and would take care of him. God will also take care of you. And number 4, when things go good, we praise God. When things go bad, we also praise God. I think you guys are going into the 6th grade. I had Gus and Mason and Lige, and we're sitting around out in front of the mess hall in a circle in class, and one day Lige goes, look, and I looked down, and there was a worm that was being attacked by 2 ants, and these ants are just all over this worm, and the boys were rooting for the ants and rooting for the worm. And they were going back and forth. And all of a sudden, Mason grabs the worm, and he takes it over, and he puts it in the grass. And Gus looks at Mason and goes, Mason, you are God. And so we talked about the idea that sometimes God removes us from the battle, but sometimes he leaves us in the battle. But we also know that whether he leaves us in the battle or removes us, he has a plan for our lives, and we need to trust him. So day 3 was follow the blueprint, listen to the designer.
I'm going to be reading the verse for Thursday. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8.
So, I was asked to talk about day four, which was the day for decorating the house. And in this scenario, you can kind of imagine your life as the house they're trying to fix up. If you want to get rid of something, like in demo day, like they said, you first start by taking it out and starting over, and then following what God says. And then once everything is ready, you then have to decorate it. And if you want to decorate it with cheap stuff that you can find easily and simply, then you'll just be like every other person on earth. If you spend time working with God, you sacrifice time, you sacrifice money, you'll end up with a better-looking house and a better-looking life. People will see that and say, this person's different. I want to know why. And then hopefully, if you can do it right, you'll bring more people to Christ. That's all.
The verse for Friday was Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything.
Before telling about day five, I want to have just a few comments about camp. You know, it was interesting, before camp started, I think Gil Taylor sent me a little screenshot of the weather for the week, and it was 80% storms, 60% storms, 80% storms, 60. The whole week was supposed to be covered with rain. And when we went up on Saturday and Sunday, we did get some rain, and we thought, well, this is going to be a wet week. I actually sent an email to the parents and said, pack extra socks and underwear and shoes because they're going to be wet. Well, we did get some rain early on, a little bit of rain on Monday, but you know, after that, it was a beautiful week. The weather was cool. I actually woke up cold some mornings. At camp, it's rare to be cold. I was like, oh, this feels so good. I'm cold this morning. But it was a fantastic week. And I don't know what happened to all those storms. Actually, I kind of know what happened to them, but you know, they did not reach us. And it was a great week. It was a great week weather-wise. It was also a great week spiritually. I think in a lot of cases as staff, we're anticipating the storms that could come during the week. And when we get there, the storms weren't there. It was a time of growth. It was a time of just a lot of fellowship and fun and excitement. You know, the thing about camp, I do get a lot of glory for camp because it goes so well. But I have to tell you, it's not me. We have such a good group of staff who come to camp. There are so many things at camp that I don't have to worry about. Things that I know who's in charge, and I know what they're doing, and I do not have to follow behind them making sure that it gets done. And that makes it so easy. We have so many people who do such a great job. So when you look around at any of the adults you see with these blue shirts on, they're the ones that make camp so good and make sure that it runs so smooth. You know, at one point, I think our only real injury, other than maybe a skinned knee or two, we had one broken ankle this week. Giovanni on one day was playing in sports and fell and twisted his ankle. He was pretty tough, so we could tell that it hurt pretty bad. They took him to the hospital. They put a splint on it, and they asked him, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I want to go back to camp. He was still in a lot of pain, and he was in pain all week and hobbled around, but he wanted to finish camp even with a broken foot. And I think that shows you a little bit about how much the campers love being there, because it's just a great place to be. Even when you can't participate in all this stuff, he still wanted to be there. You know, my philosophy about the camp theme is that I view it as kind of a parable. Jesus would tell a story, and we always say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what this theme is right here. It's an earthly picture, an earthly thing that has a heavenly meaning to the campers. And my goal is that we saturate camp with this theme in a way that if they ever see a commercial for the actual TV show Fixer Upper, they're immediately drawn back to camp. Or if they hear a reference to some kind of construction, they immediately have that spiritual side that falls into that as they think about how God fixes us up. And so with the theme, the way it came about, we about 13 years ago, we did Extreme Home Makeover. We had a great camp that year, and we built a fire circle there at camp. The one that was there before was just a few rocks in a circle for the fire, and the benches were rotten and they were falling apart. Most of them were just stumps that were just, you know, logs that were just cut and set there and a board across it. It was very common for somebody to sit down and fall over backwards when everything tipped over. And we thought this needs to be a better place. That was the year that Lori Gallagher had been killed in an accident. And so we decided we were going to build this fire circle in honor of Lori because she would have cared about people worshiping God. And so we had a great year, and we built this beautiful fire circle. Well, just like, and we talked about this a lot, just like our lives, things can deteriorate. We can become careless. There are things in our life that we allow to go the wrong direction. And the fire circle, last year we looked at it and we said, it's in bad shape. It really needs to be redone. And so we decided last year we were going to redo the fire circle. We were going to pick a theme that went with redoing that fire circle. And this was kind of a popular show. And when I began to look at Fixer Upper, the TV show, I realized that Chip and Joanna Gaines were very strong Christians. And so there was a lot of material about the stars of this show who cared more about God than they did their show. In fact, they've quit their show partly because they needed to be able to have better time with their family. And so we saw this as a theme that the people behind this show were good people. The show can carry that message, and then we have a job to do at camp. And we did that. We built this beautiful, actually I say we, Chris and Matt built this beautiful fire circle, and they allowed us to believe that we were having a part in it as we were building it. But when we finished, we rededicated that fire circle to Lori. We rededicated it to being a place where people can sit in a good way, where they can worship God and in that setting. And so we believe we left something great there again, like we do with our life. We constantly get our life fixed up. When things go in the wrong direction, we pull it back in the right direction. And that's what we want the students to carry with them as they think about camp this year, is how God can fix us up. The theme for day five was the big reveal. At the end of the show, Fixer Upper, you know, they've demoed and they've worked on the foundation and they've rebuilt the house and they've decorated it. And at the very end, they have this big moment where they pull the screens back and they show the final product of what that house looks like. You know, on the TV show, that's the final product. But in real life, that's not the final product. That's only the beginning. That's where the family moves back in and they begin to enjoy this new fixed up, beautiful place that they have. And that's what God does with us. God fixes us up. And there are big reveals in our life. There are moments where we become a Christian. There are moments when we rededicate our life. There are moments when we say, I've done this wrong. I'm going to start moving this toward God. There are big reveals, but those are the beginnings of what we are doing in our life. That's the beginning of a continual process that we are spending living for God. You know, there have been studies done about what affects our teenagers the most as far as their spiritual growth. And consistently, these studies have shown that Bible camps are a huge part of what the students carry with them. And I think it really goes back to what we read about in the New Testament, that they were daily and from house to house. For a little while, we truly experience New Testament Christianity, where we are daily and from house to house, worshiping together, studying together. And that is powerful in a camper's life. that's what camp is. And I told the campers this, you know, camp 2018 physically has come to an end. And really tonight with the skating, that kind of marks the physical end of camp 2018. But in reality, camp 2018 never ends. It never comes to a finish because we are carrying what happened this week with us for the rest of our life. The lessons that we learned, we carry those with us. The songs that we sang, I guarantee you, campers, there will be times that you'll wake up singing one of those songs that we sang at camp. You carry that with you. The verses that you memorized, you carry those with you. There will be times in your life you'll be reading and you'll come across one of those verses and you'll be brought back to 2018 Fixer Upper and you'll remember those things that we studied. The friendships that you gained there, you will remember those for the rest of your life. Those of you who grew up at Antioch Bible Camp or have talked to anybody who has gone there in the past, you know that there's always good thoughts and good memories about what happened at Antioch Bible Camp. So Antioch Bible Camp 2018, as the big reveal is happening this morning, it's not the end, it's only the beginning. We move forward here carrying with us this parable, carrying with us these experiences. And if we allow them to do so, God will use those to help us for the rest of our lives. God will use those to keep us strong and to turn us to Him for the rest of our life here on this earth. One of the big reveals we had this week were people who made the decision to be followers of Jesus. And I know several of these are traveling and have had to go on somewhere else. But if you're here, please stand up. Jaden Cunningham, he was baptized. Eden Jones Gross was baptized. Wesley Rogers and Anna Kate Rogers were baptized. And Sonora Whittington was baptized. We were very excited about these people. You can sit down now, thank you. We were very excited about these people who decided to make that step of giving their life to Jesus. You know, with Wesley and Anna Kate, that's the niece and nephew of Andrew and Aaron. They worship all the time at a church, but at that place they just didn't have the fellowship that they wanted for their children. And Antioch Bible Camp kind of provided that. They wanted to come here and be a part of the Antioch family as they made that decision and made that commitment in front of other people. And so we were excited that we can offer that even to other people who are here. At one point, we had too many teachers. We lined up teachers. We didn't have that many cabins. And Tim and Angie came to me and they said, "Why don't you let us be?" I don't know the right title for it, but they basically said, "Let us be people who focus on prayer this week." They set up a tent kind of out a little bit away from camp, and they invited people to come to them at any time to pray. And a lot of campers and a lot of adults, and I went there, and we would sit and talk, and we would pray. And so they kind of focused on prayer. Well, with that, we noticed that prayer kept coming up. There was a song we sang that I'm sure we'll sing here in a little while, something about every time the Spirit moves me, I will pray. And there was one evening we were talking to some of the older campers, and Andrew and I both separately had this thought about them beginning to pray for the younger campers. And we noticed that prayer was kind of popping up as a secondary theme of camp. I always say that there's things God does at camp that we didn't plan on, but it begins to become evident that God is doing that. This week, it was the way we prayed. And at one point, one of the campers told Andrew, he said, "Andrew, it's really neat the way you planned all of this prayer going on." And Andrew said, "We didn't plan that. Somebody else planned that." And I think God really pulled out of this camp lots of prayer. And I hope that that secondary theme is also carried with our campers throughout their life. But that time of prayer was so important. Andrew and I commented a lot about how much our older campers prayed with the younger campers. In the evening after the devotional, they would go out into the cabins and would visit cabins and pray with those younger campers. And it was just a great time there. You know, prayer is so important. It's so much a part of who we are. We often say there's power in prayer, and that has the right meaning, but the truth is it's not the power in prayer. There's power in God. And when we talk with God, when we communicate with Him, For some reason, God allows us to move him when we talk with him. And so we need to be people who are focused on talking to God, on spending time with him. And I think this camp was about that. And I am so thankful that that was a secondary theme of camp. This morning, we want to have a time of prayer. We want to have a time that we are able to just go talk with God. And we do that often here. This morning, what we're going to do, and we did this last year, teachers, I want to ask the teachers, when we stand up, if you'll just kind of move to the aisle. And campers, you are welcome to go find your teacher and to talk with them, talk about your lessons, talk a little bit about what they can pray about. And we would like to have teachers, if you'll just pray with your campers there. We'll also have some elders up front here, like we always do. If anyone here needs a time of prayer, you can come up. You could go to the teachers of your children, or you could come up front here and you could pray with the elders. Let's find that time to just demolish the things that don't need to be in our life. Let's work on building that right foundation and filling our lives with the right things. Let's let God be the one who fixes us up. You know, when you buy a fixer-upper, you don't go look for the good house. You don't go look for the one that's beautiful and nice. You look for the one that needs repair. And, you know, that's exactly what God does. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not good enough yet to follow God. Well, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for the fixer-upper. It's when you are at your lowest that God wants you the most. That's the fixer-upper he's looking for. So if you have ever thought, oh, I need to do more, I need to be better before I come to God, that's a lie. That's a lie. God wants the fixer-upper. He wants you when you aren't right. He wants you when you're not there yet. So this morning, if you're not there yet, if you're not good enough yet, if you're not right enough yet, come to Jesus and let him begin to fix you up. If we'll come on up and get ready to sing, let's spend time talking to God and praying to God, and let's let him fix us up.